We are no longer slaves. Amen. That was an excellent, excellent song. Tonight I'm going to be teaching on something I've called freedom. Is spelled G-R-A-C-E. And I think this week God just brought this to my memory of a simple yet very powerful truth. And a wonderful man of God who passed away, fell asleep a couple of years ago now, Reverend Ken Petty, did a seminar called Romans, the Foundation of Freedom. And I wanted to read from the introduction of that seminar. Man's passionate longing for freedom and his quest to find that freedom resonates throughout history. His drive to be free from political tyranny has brought down governments and founded new nations. His search for freedom from religious intolerance and racial discrimination has led to great social movements with constitutional changes and the enactment of new laws. Seeking to be free from geographical restraints, he has torn down wilderness areas and produced innovative forms of transportation that had shortly before been mere dreams. His longing to be emancipated from financial and economic shackles has brought about new industries and opened global markets. The early American patriots recognized the value of liberty. One of the most profound documents in the history of mankind proclaimed liberty as the inalienable right of mankind. More than 200 years ago, the Declaration of Independence claimed, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Another famous declaration from this era still resounds today. Give me liberty or give me death. Many centuries before Patrick Henry spoke those words, before the Declaration of Independence was penned, one man came with a message of freedom, but not the freedom born of political, social, economic, or geographical change. This man was known to many as a lowly carpenter from Nazareth, a small village in Galilee, a province under the tight grip of Roman domination. Yet he made the most momentous declaration of independence in all of history, speaking of the freedom that comes by a knowledge of the truth. If you have your Bible, you can turn to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 2. And this is what Jesus said. John 8:31, he made the most momentous declaration of independence in all of history, speaking of the freedom that comes by a knowledge of the truth. John 8:31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free." Well, free from what? Gosh, anything that puts people into bondage? Like the song said, we are no longer slaves to fear. Fear is one of the greatest enemies of the Christian. And it's something that is all around us in our world. Turn on the news, turn on any type of media, and eventually you will see something that's trying to get you to be afraid. Actually, in 1 John 4:18, it says, perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. When you're afraid of something, you're tormented. Amen? But 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and a love and of a sound mind. So certainly one of the things that the truth sets us free from is fear. And there's a lot of other bondages that are in the world. I mean, you've lived long enough to understand and know some of those things. If we continue in the truth, we'll continue to walk in that great freedom. But there was a group of believers a number of years ago, and I think the truth still applies to us, that kind of got off the mark, and they became very legalistic in their thinking and kind of pushed the basic simple truths of the work of Jesus Christ, got superseded, let's say, by a lot of religious, well-meaning people. This was a Jewish culture. And, of course, Jesus was kind of preaching a different gospel than what the Jews traditionally believed. So they really wanted to bring back some of the law and some of the legalism into the first century church. And as a result, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says to them, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The yoke, the burden of being bound and held by religious rules and traditions, which come as a result of men. Because God is not putting these kind of restrictions on the believer. Men want to put restrictions on people. It's always been trying to control a person's behavior to bring forth some type of godly fruit, when in reality, in actuality, it's more of identifying who you are and what God has done for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ that will transform you. And I would go as far as to say your behavior begins to change. It's not by trying so hard in your own strength to change. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit swearing. I'm going to quit doing all the rules and regulations that we somehow associate with being so, you know, righteous. If we will accept by the grace of God what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ, and his rules are very simple. It's stated in Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. What does that mean? Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It says, and you will be saved. Does that sound like a lot of rules and regulations? Well, no, it doesn't. And as Christians begin to live their lives, many people are defeated because of the kind of the sin consciousness that develops. And Paul is again reminding the Galatian church, the believers there, to stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made you free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, trying to work to get good enough to be in the presence of God and to be accepted by God. You know what, folks? There's nothing you could do to get any better to try to prove to God how good you are. See, spiritually, we've been given everything that God has to give by his love and his grace, and it is a gift. You know, many people, Christians, are defeated spiritually because they have sin consciousness. They are born again. They are saved. But the devil, Satan, comes to their minds and tells them, you're not good enough because of the many years maybe they lived in sin. And so this is an antagonistic way of thinking, and it's very defeating. And it happens when a person does not realize what has been given to him by Jesus Christ. When a person becomes a Christian, he is legally, and in every other way, made righteous in Christ. This is the truth of the scriptures that sets men and women and any other person who believes totally free. And so you might ask, what is righteousness? Well, here's one definition that has been given, and that is the God-given the justification. That's a big old word. But basically what it means is God looks at you just as if you've never sinned. That's a good way to think of it. So righteousness is the God-given justification whereby a person can stand in the very presence of God Almighty without any consciousness of sin, any consciousness of guilt, any consciousness of their shortcomings. It is something that God gives to the believer. It's something that God gave to you when you were saved, when you were born again, and when you confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe that God raised him from the dead. This gift that we have been given enables us to have and to understand, acknowledge that we have right standing with God. And it's right this second. It's a spiritual gift. It's the thing that we receive at the time of the, we call it the new birth, or the time that God's Spirit was created in you, the time, the moment you got born again, you were made righteous and you forevermore will be righteous. But, you know, a lot of people still think they're very unworthy to receive the goodness of God. And if that goes on and on and on, which is a very satanic belief, it goes into their subconscious mind. Well, believe me, if my or your being worthy of God depended upon our own strength, we would absolutely be great failures, because we should know by now that we're weak in ourselves. And in myself, my own flesh, what I do, I'm unworthy. But you know what? Christ has made me worthy. So here's a big one, guys. No matter how I feel or what my mind tells me, I am strong. And in him, I am worthy. You know, this title that I gave this sharing tonight, freedom is spelled G-R-A-C-E. And I put a period after each one of those letters. As many of us have heard about grace, it's that thing we received that we didn't deserve. Well, think of this grace as an acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. Freedom is spelled G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Ah, it's so beautiful. Because you know what, ever since man was created, he's tried to work out his own righteousness and tried to do the kind of things that would make himself look good in the sight of God. You know, the heart cry of the believer, of man, not even the believer, is to be righteous before God. And especially in the Christian circles, people try to do all sorts of things to try to obtain righteousness. Like what? Confessing sin, teaching Sunday school, keeping the Ten Commandments. And yet, these things that people will do not make a person righteous. They do not give them right standing before God. Righteousness is only obtained one way. And it is obtained from God through the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to read about that right now in this verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. I'll give you a moment to get there. This is such a dynamic topic, such a practical reality. Yes, there's a doctrinal and legal side to righteousness, but man, to live one day without condemnation in your heart, without feeling guilty, without feeling condemned, those are satanic tools that are used against the believer to suck the life out of them. And far too many of us know this from experience. But tonight, today, we change. We put our best foot forward. We say, I am righteous now. Well, here's this verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith. Faith. You know what? Your tears, your toil, your prayers, your good works, they will avail nothing. It's not given by the cross that you bear, but it is given freely by the cross that Jesus Christ bore for you. The righteousness of God is given to every believer, not by works, but by God's grace, which is divine favor. Oh my gosh, what a wonderful and rich topic. But I trust that tonight, when you turn off this teaching and when you go to bed tonight, you'll think about this a little bit further. We're free spiritually. We're free spiritually. And it's a gift. So take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans, the book of Romans has been referred to as the Magna Carta of the Christian life. It is the foundation. It is the thing that stands really par excellence, showing, you know, how God dealt with the sin problem and then how he deals with the sinner problem. See, so there's a lot of great, great, wonderful things in there. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, the King James says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the what? The gift of righteousness shall survive. Have some days good, some days not so. Whoa. It says those who have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life. By one, Jesus Christ. I wanted to read another translation, just kind of expand upon this. A gentleman by the name of J.B. Phillips, his translation says, for if by one man's offense it meant that men should be slaves to death all their lives, it is a far greater thing that through another man, Jesus Christ, men, by their acceptance of his more than sufficient grace and righteousness, should live all of their lives like kings. Kings reign. We can reign in life by our own strength, by our own wits, by our own smarts and talents and bank accounts and whatever. No, we live and reign in life with this righteousness, this right standing that we have with God. It is so great. You know what? If, and by the way, that's one of the biggest words there ever was, if you could earn it, it wouldn't be free, would it? And that's the cool thing about all this. And that's just a great example of how God is so huge. If you could earn it, it wouldn't be free. Or another way to say that, it wouldn't be by grace. All that we have received, all of the riches that we've received in our kingly reign, we have received because of Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, a lot of denominations teach that a person can be righteous one moment and unrighteous the next. If that person doesn't become righteous again before his death, he might miss heaven and end up in hell. I'm here to say tonight that's not true. When God made us righteous in Christ Jesus over 1900 years ago, we had nothing to do with it. When the Spirit of God in Christ is born within us, we are at that moment and forevermore righteous. We receive the nature of God, which makes us righteous right then and there. That at this very second, we can go in and we are in the presence of God Almighty, and we can live our lives without guilt. That's how we're going to reign in life. Guilt is everywhere. Maybe you felt a little guilt today. Maybe you felt a little sin consciousness today. Maybe you had a little condemnation in your heart for one reason or another. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ paid the perfect price for us so that we wouldn't have to live like that anymore. We can be, and we are, free. We're not free because of the works we do. We're free because of the work that Jesus did on our behalf. And so I wanted to kind of wrap this whole sharing up. And I trust you'll remember that acronym definition, God's riches at Christ's expense. But, you know, I've noticed something else that's really a very cool thing to do, and that is to make declarations and confessions of what the Word says. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the way to get that Word down into our heart is by reading it, meditating upon it, memorizing it, and thinking about it, speaking it. And so here's something that I wrote that I thought would just be a good declaration. And fortunately, this will be recorded, so if you can't jot it all down right now, it'll be there. But how about we declare this truth? By his work at Calvary, Jesus paid the price, so I don't have to. He did what God told him to do and is now the one who lives where? In me. My life was redeemed and is redeemed, and I am made righteous. How? By God's riches at Christ's expense. This is the truth that will set me free and will set you free. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful Word of God, the work of Jesus Christ in our behalf, and how we can just soak it up, breathe it in, and live it out, Father. Thank you for what you've done, and forgive us where we've fallen short so that we may rise up again, Father, to walk as sons and daughters you'd be proud of. We're proud of us anyway, but we want to acknowledge that and feel it too. So, I thank you, God, that you love us so very much, and we do love you too, Father. So help us to be our best. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.